RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas along with Deuce McAllister on this day after Christmas. I hope everyone had a great, safe holiday. Of course, it's the holiday season as we roll right on through New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, the Sugar Bowl, and then we'll start talking about Mardi Gras pretty soon thereafter. With us is Mr. Deuce McAllister. How was your holiday, sir?
It was good. I mean, it was, what do we call it? Safe, clean, fun is always a good thing. So tremendously blessed. What about yours, sir?
Yeah, it was good. Went over to the family. My wife's family all lives relatively close in very New Orleans-like fashion. Everybody's within like a 3 to 5 mile radius. And so it was good. And so, yeah, it was kind of quick and kind of back at it today and getting ready for Nashville. And I don't know if you've looked at it, but I'm pretty happy that the game is Sunday and not Monday.
Well, if you've looked at that part, then you know what's coming for New Orleans, not even Nashville. You know what's coming for New Orleans on basically Monday through, what, Friday,
yep,
roughly?
Going to be some cold. It's the beginning of a front. It's what we're used to.
Hey, so Mike, the doctors may not say it, but they're getting excited. The doctors are getting excited. They're like, hey, we got to get some preparation because we are finna get an influx of patients. Because guess why? We're walking around with sandals on yesterday and today. You got your shorts on. You know, you may have a light jacket or maybe some sleeves. But next week, my brother, you gonna have what? The Uggs ain't even in. What's the boots? What's the in boots now?
Duffy,
I don't even know the in boots.
I don't either.
I don't know them, but I know Uggs used to be the hot thing. But whatever the long boots are, that's what's gonna be in. You gonna have the long boots on. You may even have some of my Detroit family. They gonna have their winter coats on. I mean, they fur. It's gonna be fur, baby, and it's gonna be so cold next week. the doctors rubbing their hands. That's how I'll do it. They rubbing their hands because they know they're gonna see a ton of patients coming in because we can't help it. 70 degrees right now, and next week going to be 25 or 30. Oh,
yep.
Man.
That's the change in Nashville. So Sunday in Nashville for the Saints in Tennessee, there's a slight chance of rain, cloudy, 71 degrees. Might be a little breezy as the beginning of the front starts to come through. So 71 on Sunday, 34 is the high on Monday. The low of 22. So as that front pushes through, hopefully we'll be on out of Nashville by that point. But it'll be a little breezy because what you know, it always seems to come earlier than you kind of expect it, and you know might be a little breezy, but you have to wait and see. But that hopefully the rain will stay away because we've had enough. We don't play that many games outside, and we've already had like three games. That's like we're good. We're good.
Three for sure, and then you know you get Atlanta with a dome, and so like you said, we don't play a ton of outside games, and you get rain in three of them already, and it's like, man, what is going on? But you know, you're just talking about Nashville weather. Tell me the New Orleans weather. I just want to hear you say it. Those numbers.
It's going to be in the lows in the 30s at nighttime as the front comes through. In the 30s during the day, Monday and Tuesday will be the coldest. And then it'll slowly start to warm up. Now, warm up in my world and warm up in your world are two different things.
Yeah, my warm up, put plus 20 on right. Top of what you thinking warm up is.
Right. And so it's going to be a cold week coming up in New Orleans, and hopefully not too big because, you know, we got, you know, you're not in the studio as we speak, but when I was coming down here, there's a lot of people here, you know, that come here for New Year's, the holidays, and you know that it's going to be a big time. So you don't want to be, I don't even need it too cold out there. That's for sure.
No, it's going to be cold, but that's what people just better understand and know. It's not just in New Orleans and different areas, really in the South, like you said. As that front moves through, it'll start pushing through on Saturday night / Sunday. You know, just depending on what part of the South that you're in, but it's definitely going to be cold. So I just tell you better dress appropriately because a lot of people that are going to be out because of New Year's, and you got a ton of people coming in for the Sugar Bowl, and man, this is. I know we got the fireworks show and we got all that going, but man, I'm telling you, you better dress appropriate.
So on the show today, about 4:35, we'll talk LSU as they are getting ready to play Houston tomorrow in the Texas Bowl. We'll talk with Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. And then at 5:25, we'll talk with Nick Suss, the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. So that'll be at 5:25 as we get ready for the Titans and the Saints on Sunday in Nashville. And while I'm here, let me give a quick shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. And we've got back-to-back Pelicans games as well. The Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns tonight at 7 o'clock. And then they play again tomorrow night. So, and then home New York on Monday night, and then they will wrap up 2025, December 31st, New Year's Eve in Chicago. So they had their winning streak ended against Cleveland. So they are now 8-23. This will be a pretty strong test. You get Phoenix comes in, they're 16-13, and you get them back-to-back. And, you know, as you look at January, 6 home games against 10 road games. And so you got to make the most of – you know, you got a nice little streak going. You got to keep it going to finish 2025.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, one of the biggest things when you look at that schedule, it was, you know, I don't want to call it impossible, but playing Cleveland on the back-to-back in Cleveland, I don't know if you caught them on Sunday, but they, you know, ran into a kind of a buzzsaw there as well, that being the Knicks. Knicks get hot at the right time, but, I mean, Cleveland was up and down, really, in their play. But, you know, they just got the Saints. They got the Pelicans, got in or late, and, you know, you were competitive. But I think you talked about it. If the Pelicans can pull off a couple of, hey, three wins here, four wins here in a row, I think they can climb back into it because, man, you know, with some of the injuries and some of the question marks with a couple of teams just in the play-in position or spot, you know, I think that you can get into play, even play in, then, you know, you may get yourself even high enough where you may even host a game. And so, you know, you just got to continue to win. I think, you know, having a couple days off, and it'll be a big test. It'll be a big test to see how you handle, you know, Phoenix. And it seems like every time we play Devin Booker here close to home, he from the Gulf Coast over there, and he always puts up, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 on us, and not having Herb is going to be a challenge. But, you know, we'll see if we can slow him down. And, you know, I think it was last time we went out there, three-point shooter. He went off on us for about 30. Yeah, Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen went off on us about 30, where he has. If it wasn't a career-high night, it was close to it, and he torched us. So we need a little get-back from Phoenix.
Yeah, they lost. The Pelicans lost 121-98, and, you know, that's been kind of the difference in when you look at them winning, you know, as they have been. 143, 114, 133, 128, 119. And you start putting up those kind of numbers offensively, you're going to be in a lot more games. 98, and yeah, not going to do it.
Yeah, and I think another key metric was they were holding teams in that that win streak. They were holding teams under 115. And so if that's going to be the case, then obviously you got to have more than 98. And the other thing that's kind of helped them, and, you know, I'll be intrigued to see, we should be finding out here soon what that starting lineup looks. You know, I know that Zion and Poole have been coming off of the, you know, off of the bench, but do they insert one of those guys? Because Herb missed the last game, and he's going to miss this one. So now do I put one of those guys in, and or you still want the production from the that second team unit, just because maybe you can space out from a minute standpoint? You know, it'll be intriguing, yeah, to see, hey, if we make a little change here, oh, okay, we don't have that five game streak going, we're going to make a little slight change, and you'll still finish for us, but you give us a little juice at the beginning of the game.
The starters against the Cleveland Cavaliers was Fears, Bryce McGowan's in place of Herb, Trey Murphy, Sadiq Bey, and Derek Queen, who came up with 21 points, seven boards, five assists. He's been everything, you know, that you could want out of a rookie. Same thing with Jeremiah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, both of those guys have been really, really good. And, you know, we can fuss and complain about the trade with Atlanta, you know, on the unprotected pick, you know. But, hey, if that pick ends up being 17 or 18, it's a fantastic move. But, I mean, obviously, you know, they have to continue to win if you're going to get it that low as far as a pick. At one point, you're flirting with top three, you know. And so if that young man continues to play like he has and continues to put himself in the rookie of the year conversation, then it was well worth it. I mean, because now you're talking about a guy that, you know, would have been a top five pick next year, or whether that pick is a top five pick next year or whatever it may be, you know, the Pelicans kind of control that. And so, you know, we'll kind of see what they do from a construction of roster going forward. But, yeah, the other thing, you know, for tonight, immediately, what do they do from a starting lineup, you know, point? Just because, you know, I don't want you to overreact, but do you insert Poole? Do you insert Zion into that starting role? And, you know, Poole is dealing, I think, with the ankle issue. He's probable for tonight, but, you know, it gives you a pretty good, you know, punch off of the bench with that second unit as well.
We'll take a break. Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss, we'll talk LSU, Saints, of course, and the Titans, Pelicans, Sugar Bowl coming up next week. A lot coming your way. This is Fans in the Pro. Back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. In about 7 or 8 minutes, we'll be talking with Glenn West about LSU, the Saints situation from the injury standpoint as far as Saints-Titans. No real surprises, not great news. Brian Brzee out, Alvin Kamara out, tight ends Zaire Mitchell-Payton out, Cesar Ruiz out. The news is really that Foster Moreau, who's been battling back from that ACL, he went on IR, and Maliki Matavao, the tight end, seventh-round pick, was signed up to the active. Mason Tipton has been bothered by a groin. Same with Chris Olave, his is back. They are both questionable, as is Charlie Smith, your kicker, because he's sick. That just happened today, so I don't think that's going to be a problem, because I'm not really sure what they would do from a kicking standpoint. But I, you know, it's just we've been watching Foster just battle back from that ACL, and that's just a as soon as he got tackled, like to me, when he got tackled on the sideline in front of the Saints bench, it didn't you know, seem that bad to me. But you noticed right away that the way he got tackled was very hard.
Yeah, and it was probably a hip drop tackle. When you look at it, it has the mechanics of the hip drop tackle, and that's basically a defender throwing all of his weight on the ankles or the legs of the offensive player, and that's the play that they've tried to get out of the NFL. There was no flag thrown for it, but I could tell the way that he got up and how his leg, I'm hoping it's only high ankle sprain. I know there wasn't official, you know, something that was given to us, but I'm hoping it was just a high ankle sprain, or if it's not a high ankle, something similar to that. And what's unfortunate is, you know, it was the same situation for Foster last year, where it was what, last game of the year?
Yep.
Where he gets hurt.
Yeah,
he gets hurt, and now, you know, you're 2 games away or 2.5 games away from making it through this season, and, you know, you can't finish it out. Because I can tell you, no player wants to end on injured reserve. No player wants his season to end like that, particularly when you know that every game counts for you. You know, and I don't know if I'll get to play another season again. The one thing that you don't want to end on injured reserve. You know, and so if I'm going to go out, and this is, you know, I speak for most players, if I'm going to go out, I want to go out on my terms. I don't want to go out on your terms. And so I work too hard. They work too hard to see it finish like that. And so for Foster, it's unfortunate. I know he was kind of holding out hope that the Saints wouldn't need that roster spot, and, you know, he could try to get back out there on the field and try to, you know, see if he could finish the season. And I know that's the same thing for Alvin. I know that's the same thing for Brian. You know, I saw him – look, I've had too many ACLs injuries. I saw him doing the test out on the field. You know, and that's one where if you've had it, you kind of know what the doctor's looking for, what he's feeling for. And, you know, it was good for him to at least be able to walk off or limp off or however you want to say it. And if it was ACL, they would have already had kind of ruled him out and put him on injury reserve. So, you know, it's not that. And so for him, he's holding out hope that he can finish these next 2 games or at least come back, for 1 more game at least against Atlanta, you know, because we know he's already ruled out for this one.
It's funny because I remember it's been a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3, I think, that this hip drop rule change has been in effect. And I can't remember it ever being called. It was one of these injury, penalties they're trying to get out, because exactly like you say, it's a play that typically injures the other player. But I can't, maybe help me. Have we said it? We haven't. I don't recall, you know, talking about the hip drop as an actual penalty during a game.
Yeah, they've called it a few times, but not a lot. I mean, you'll get a letter, a FedEx, quicker than they will call it in a game, just because it's, I don't want to say it's hard, but it's just like the grabbing the collar of the jersey. You know, you'll see that called a lot quicker, or did he get his hands all the way inside, or did he pull it? You know, you'll see that call a lot quicker, and it's just going to take the official some time to see the mechanism of the tackle, because it's one you want definitely out of it, because it does hurt guys. I understand trying to tackle a guy, but you're going to hurt some guys by doing it. There has happened in the past, but you'll get a FedEx quicker, Mike, than and that FedEx is a fine, because you do get fined for it. But that FedEx, it'll come via the mail than maybe the penalty.
Wow. Interesting. All right, take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans of the Pro until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll kind of turn the gears over to the LSU Tigers, who play in the Texas Bowl tomorrow. We'll talk with Glenn West when we come back here on Fans of the Pro, WWL. Stay with us.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back, fans of the Pro, Mike Austin, as well as Deuce McAllister. And we're talking LSU against Houston in the Texas Bowl tomorrow night, 8:15 kickoff. 8:15 kickoff in Houston. And joining us now, Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com at GlennWest21. Glenn, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and Haas.
Hey, Deuce and Haas, how are you guys? Thanks for having me.
We are well. Thank you very much. Same to you. Hope you had a good holidays. And so, LSU back-to-back at the Texas Bowl, so not the way that you wanted to finish. Last year they beat Baylor, but really this year it's been just so much different. Their last game was November 29th, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's a game, but it's been Frank Wilson, it's been Lane Kiffin, it's been the portal. There's so much going on that really haven't, that's beyond kind of the football game, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you're definitely seeing one eye towards the football game and then maybe an extra couple eyes towards the future of the program and just what they're going to do in the transfer portal here next month. They're obviously going to be very aggressive with Lane Kiffin and this new staff. But we were able to talk with Frank Wilson a little bit today, and they are kind of treating this kind of as a last kind of battle cry for this previous era of LSU football. And they got a pretty good amount of players that have decided to play. With some of the opt-outs that they've had and some of the guys who are not playing because of injury, they still were able to retain a good portion of their young players to kind of go through the finish line here and get through this last game against Houston tomorrow. So should be an interesting one just to kind of see maybe what the future of LSU could look like with some of these returning players or potential returning players, I should say. But there's certainly a lot that I think you're going to be able to kind of move past from quickly with this game and move towards what the portal is going to look like for these guys.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued just to get your thoughts on. It's unique to say it in the least, just because Coach Kiffin has been around, he has been there, but it's still Coach Frank Wilson kind of operating and leading in a sense. And so I just wanted to get your opinion on how involved Coach Kiffin has been, even with, just watching practice or, from that standpoint, and just maybe a young guy trying to catch the eye of that potential staff, and you know, just wanting to put some good film out there, just because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, a lot of times we think that scholarships are 4 years, as we know it's a year-to-year basis type situation, and so you do want to put some good film on camera to be able to say, hey, look, you know, I am worthy of at least an opportunity or the conversation to be a part of what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And Coach Kiffin has been around for quite a bit here over the last couple of weeks, not only just trying to get himself assimilated with Baton Rouge, but getting to know some of the current players on this roster. They've really started to have some revved up meetings with some of these current players really over the last week to 10 days, just trying to see where each of these guys are at in terms of, do they want to return to the team, what that role could look like, do they want to enter the portal, and what opportunities could be available for them elsewhere. So, you know, Coach Kiffin was, you know, watching a lot of the practices up until they left for Houston on the 24th. He's, I believe, out in California right now celebrating Christmas with his family, but he's been around the building, around the facility a lot, doing all the things that he needs to kind of get a good sense of what this current roster might look like for him next year, and then building, obviously, his board and his plan with Billy Glasscock, the new general manager, about just how they want to attack these different positions and just who those targets might be. But I think it also helps when you have kind of the defensive staff returning, you know, guys like Blake Baker and Kevin Peoples and, you know, guys who have been around this program now for a couple of years. It'll certainly help them, I think, in the retention of their defensive players. You know, offensively, I think you're looking at a pretty massive overhaul for LSU, and that's exactly why you've paid Lane Kiffin the big bucks to come in here and get that side of the ball fixed very quickly. But defensively, they were able to retain a lot of those defensive staffers, and I think that's really going to help them as he continues to get to know a lot of these players, and he gets to know this region, he gets to know recruiting around here, and just how important that's going to be to his success. So he's taking all in the information right now, and I think he's going to be very much informed by the time this portal window opens about who and who will not be returning to their roster next year.
And the portal officially is January 2nd, so we're a week away from that. I was reading one of your more recent articles today, and there are expected to be about 10 players, at least right now, that we expect to be in that transfer portal. Roughly speaking, of those 10, were all those kind of, you know, more recent, or were some of these maybe before the Lane Kiffin decision or after? Are you trying to sway some of these guys still?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of these decisions that I think have been made over the last week to 10 days since Lane Kiffin got the job, and I think since he's kind of had an opportunity to evaluate the roster and talk to some of these players. But there certainly are a few that have entered the transfer portal that I think LSU would be open to bringing back if they were to kind of change their minds or have further conversation with this new staff. The freshman offensive lineman, Carius Kern, is one of those guys. He's, you know, a highly four-star rated recruit, played a lot as a true freshman, and, you know, just I think is one of the highest rated players right now in the transfer portal or expected to enter the transfer portal. We know how much work this offensive line needs for LSU, and you certainly hate to lose young talent like that that's developing and that's evolving. And so if there's a way to maybe convince a guy like him to return, but you know, a lot of the guys that have entered this far to this point were kind of, you know, bench players, depth players, you know, guys who maybe saw the field here and there, but were not real crucial pieces to this roster this year, with the exception of Kern. I think he's probably the big one there that you don't like to see go into the portal, but also understand that it's just part of the business. And, you know, I would expect maybe a couple more to enter here before January 2nd. We just got a couple more updated today. Offensive lineman DJ Chester, who's been a multi-year player for LSU, and then safety JV and Toviano have also entered the portal according to a number of different reports. So, you know, they're right around a dozen right now, I think, for portal entries. And so they've got to do a lot of really good work here over the next couple weeks to kind of rebuild up that depth and find some quality starting options, I think, going forward.
Yeah, and when you talk about just how teams, I just wanted to get your opinion, not necessarily just LSU, on how teams have adopted to the portal. And we know Coach Kiffin in the past, particularly at Ole Miss, he has built, you know, his team via the portal, and obviously high school as well. But, you know, more so immediate players from what they think guys that can step in and play have been via the portal. And just wanted to get your take on it, you know, as we know that, the more changes we're approaching, I guess, the second weekend now of the bowl or playoff series. And, you know, some of those players, a lot of those guys are portal players. Some are high school. But just get your opinion on that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, I think, a changing of the guard here. You know, everything in recruiting used to be relationship based. And I just don't think that's the case anymore. I think there's playing opportunity, of course, that factors into it. But look, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the players that you see enter the portal, or at least a lot of the ones that are looking for other opportunities, are also doing it because of that NIL factor and just kind of what financial opportunities might be out there for them as players. And so I think that's a huge part to this. You know, Lane Kiffin has been a coach here over the last 4 or 5 years that has looked at the transfer portal very, very deeply and kind of come away, I think, with the overarching opinion that, you know, why take a risk on a, you know, 4 or 5 star player in high school that we haven't seen compete at this level, as opposed to maybe a 2 or 3 year starter in college who has all those built up statistics and has all that built up playing time and been in a college program. I think this is kind of at least what you're going to see at LSU here over the next several years. I think you're going to see a lot more leaning into the transfer portal, and I think that's just the way that Lane Kiffin has seemingly found a lot of his success here over the last 5 to 6 years. But I certainly also think that the recruiting base in Louisiana is something that can't be lost in the process if you're LSU from a high school perspective. There's just so much talent that comes out of this state year in, year out. It's what makes this job such an appealing one as opposed to some of the other ones really across the country, because there's just not much of a competition there with some of those high school players who grew up wanting to put on the purple and gold. So there's going to have to be more of a balance there, but I do think that at least from an LSU perspective, that the transfer portal is going to be something that is alive and well every year here under Lane Kiffin going forward.
And if you look old school, you know, they're playing a game in Houston. We know how well LSU likes to recruit the state of Texas and vice versa. Yep. Because it's two of the best football, you know, talent bases. What you know, can this game, what can they do and can't do as far as recruiting for this game?
Yeah, it's great for the recruiting base because there is a large faction of LSU recruiting in Houston having a lot of success there. Even just as recently as this last year, they were able to recruit a guy, A.J. Halsey, from Houston from the transfer portal and get him over here to LSU. But look, I think from, you know, there's also a huge donor base, a huge fan base here in the Houston area for LSU. They've already sold out all of their, LSU allotted tickets for the Texas Bowl. So you'd expect it to be a pretty packed house in the NRG Stadium tomorrow. I think from a recruiting perspective, they're not allowed to have much interaction with some of these Texas recruits, but they can certainly host them, and certainly those recruits can certainly come to campus or come to the game on Saturday and watch this team from afar. But I don't think there's going to be much interaction between the coaches and some of these recruits that come in from Texas. So that's kind of the update there from a recruiting perspective.
Well, I surely appreciate it. We look forward to it, and thank you for the all the updates as well.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
No, thank you, Glenn. That's Glenn West, 247.com. Just checking all of his stuff. The Tigers, 8:15, going to be a late one for you. That much we know of, an 8:15 kickoff. So appreciate it. Be safe. So we'll be back after this. Take a quick break. Fans in the Pro, as we just finished talking with Glenn West, LSU, and Houston in the Texas Bowl tomorrow night. Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, back after this here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans of the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. It's the Saints against the Titans on Sunday in Nashville. And, you know, not surprisingly, you got a 5-10 team and a 3-12 team that statistically, they mirror each other in a lot of ways. Both teams started 0-4. Both teams started 1-5. Both teams lost their next four. Now, the Saints stopped that streak and had a victory. Tennessee kept it going. And by the way, Tennessee fired their coach at 1-5. And so, but really, if you look at the last, you know, month or so, the Saints have won three straight. Tennessee's won two of their last three games with the number one pick overall, Cam Ward at quarterback. So you have the number one against the 40th overall pick being Tyler Shuck. And so it's interesting to see these two teams. You know, when you look at Tennessee, they did exactly. They said, Cam's the number one pick overall. You're getting in there. Go get him. And took a beating, really. I mean, he's got 51 sacks. 48 came in the first 12 games. Three in the last three games, right? So it feels like in the last three games, he's got six touchdowns in the last three, one pick. You know, he's kind of, it's kind of the two methodologies of kind of, you know, quarterback, and the difference being you get the number one pick overall, that cat's playing, right?
He's playing, but I sure wish, you know, and this is just from an observation standpoint, I wish he had a gotten, you know, I don't know if it was eight games, but I wish he had a gotten one, the head coach to be with him the complete year, but two, to be able to sit for a couple of games and to watch it. You know, it's always tough to get thrown into the fire, particularly if you're the number one overall pick, because very, very few times has it been a situation where you go in the number one pick and you have multiple weapons on the outside. You have an offensive line that is already established, so you don't get beat up. Normally you come in and you get beat up and the guy, you know, it takes him 2 or 3 years to kind of recover from it because he's gun shy. We hope that's not the case with Cam Ward. We already have seen one interesting thing as far as the head coaching, you know, change, and that's never good from a development standpoint. And so we'll just kind of watch it and see how he kind of continues to develop and what kind of weapons they put around him. I mean, because here's the thing, Mike. We know with the new stadium coming, they expect the Super Bowl at some point, correct?
That's true. That's typically the case with the NFL new stadium Super Bowl in some future year.
Yeah, and so not to say that they're going to be hosting, but you want to be at least in the position to say, man, we're in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. We can be, you know, one of the first teams to ever play in your own city, yada, 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 as far as the Super Bowl is in. But, you know, normally when you get that number one pick, it doesn't bode well because it normally means that you got a lot of things that you got to fix on the team. And the way that it's trending right now for the Titans, they may be in the running for what? Top 10 at worst?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe top 5?
Yeah.
You know,
3 and
top
12.
10 at, yeah. Top 10 at worst, maybe top 5 pick. And so they think that they have their quarterback of the future. So now, you know, and I don't know what the biggest need is for them. And, you know, I think a lot of it will be determined by head coach and general manager, what they feel like the biggest needs are. But we know one superstar on the other side of the football is Simmons.
Yep.
I mean, and he is all over the football field. Got to meet him when he was in high school. Got to know Jeffrey and, you know, some of the things that he's been able to do up there in Tennessee. And, you know, some people felt like that he wanted out or, you know, let's trade him and get some assets just because maybe the window doesn't match. You know, I can see some of that. But if I'm trading him, Mike, at minimum, it better be a 1, possibly a 2, or at worst, a 1 and a 3. And I'm probably going to want some type of player back as well. He's that good.
Yeah, Mississippi State. It's in his 7th year. So he's from LaSalle Parish, and it's where he was born. And I had to look this one up, but I knew I was talking to you, so I knew it'd be good. Is it Knoxubee?
Knoxubee County.
Yeah, Knoxubee County High School in Mississippi is where, and then he went to Mississippi State. But man, 9 sacks last week. He had a safety and 2 batted down passes in the first half. I mean, he's just a beast.
He's a beast, and then guess what he does? He's like Bink was for us offensively. He lines up in their goal line package and even some of their short yardage package, and they throw it to him. They will throw it to him, and so he's not just a fullback. He'll line up at the H or the move tight end guy, but they will throw him the football. They're trying to make it and keep it fun for that team, and you know he's a piece that, hey, keeps it fun for him, but he's a tremendous, tremendous athlete, and so he's going to be a problem for us offensively because he moves all over. You're not going to just see him at a nose or the three tackle, three technique. He'll move all over.
And we'll talk more about the Saints and the Titans. Let's talk about their running game. Tyjae Spears, of course, from Ponchatoula. Tony Pollard, who was with Kellen Moore. So that's coming up in our 5 o'clock hour when we talk to Nick Suss. He's the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. Got another hour coming your way as we get ready for the Sugar Bowl, the Pelicans tonight, Saints on Sunday. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans in a Pro. Back after this, the news is next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
And welcome back to our second and final hour of Fans in the Pro. Here, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. At 5:25 today, we'll talk with Nick Suss. We'll talk more about the Titans and the Saints on Sunday in Nashville. Weather should be okay before that front gets there. Hopefully, it will stay that way. So get you caught up a little bit on the college football situation as far as the CFP is concerned, and we'll kind of take them in order as they come, and then we'll kind of dive in a little deeper. The first one of the final eight, the quarterfinals, is going to be New Year's Eve. Number 10, Miami against number 2, Ohio State. That's the Cotton Bowl. That'll be 6:30 next week on New Year's Eve. And then the three games on January 1st, Thursday, New Year's Day. It begins with the Orange Bowl at 11 a.m., number 5, Oregon against number 4, Texas Tech. And then at 3 o'clock, it is the Rose Bowl, number 9, Alabama against number 1, Indiana. And then we'll cap it, of course, with our own All-State Sugar Bowl on January 1st, 7 o'clock, number 6, Ole Miss against number 3, Georgia, in a rematch of that game. And I'm assuming, Mr. McAllister, that you've been approached about getting some tickets. Hey, man, can you help me out? Help a guy out, right?
Man, I'm the ticket broker man down there, and then I am the what do we call it? Restaurant.
The tour guide.
I'm the tour guide for the restaurant. I'm also the I'm gonna be the weatherman because I done told y'all better put some clothes on out there. It's gonna be cold, so I don't want to hear you sniffling and you got that going on. What other obligations I got? I know what it is. The New Year's Eve. My close friend, my roommate, really, really close friend. I Mike, now this is my close friend from Oxford, from Ole Miss. I have a 2-call limit on him right now because he wants to talk about this, that, and the other. And I'm like, bro, I got so much other stuff. I got the Saints I got to focus on. I am not worried about what party we going to for New Year's, what recommendation, what game day he's talking about. And I'm happy, I'm excited. The Sugar Bowl, what is that? The Children's Hospital Sugar Bowl parade. I think it's New Year's Eve. I'm like, bruh, man, I love you, but I ain't got time to be dealing with all that. He's like, well, I got a plan. I said, no. You better put it together, write it down on some paper, and then we'll get there, once I'm done with my Saints obligations.
Yeah, it's next week, man. It's going to be kind of a crazy time. We had the New Orleans Bowl this past week on the 23rd before Christmas, and, man, that's just going to be, you think about that, the New Year's Eve game is Ohio State and Miami. Miami beat Texas A&M in that first one. So as you kind of look.
So what time is that game?
That's 6:30 on New Year's Eve.
6:30.
Cotton Bowl. Yeah.
6:30.
Yeah. 6:30 our time, 7:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, no. And so, like, most people, that game should be one that's watched.
Yeah.
Should be one that's watched pretty good. Yeah. I'm thinking if you got an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock kick, you're asking for it.
Right.
Because most people, they may watch the first quarter or even the first half, but after that, they gone. They may catch it at the local watering hole or bar or wherever they end up at, but they not finna watch that. And that's like last night, Christmas game. How many basketball games did you see yesterday?
None.
How many football games did you see yesterday?
They were on. I was watching Minnesota and Detroit a little bit, but not really. And did not even look at Denver, Kansas City.
You flipped. You were Netflix, a Prime Video, yep. And what was the other one on? I can't remember. Or those were the only two, or was it three? It was three.
There's
right?
Three. I think the last two were at least the one we were on was the Netflix game.
The Netflix game, I think was I know the
that was Minnesota Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit, and I think Prime Video was the Denver. Yep. And Denver end up. I was glancing, so I was flipping all channels. And I'm going back. I got to log out of this app, and I got to go to the regular. But
yeah, flipping channels ain't what it used to be.
No, it's not. You got to log all the way out. You got to log out, and then you got to go back into the other app just to get to just to see what you're watching. And I brought that up because apparently there was an unbelievable basketball game, Denver and Minnesota, that most of the country didn't even get to watch, and it was like I think the Joker. He has the most assists by any center in NBA history. I think he went for like 56. Anthony Edwards went for like 44. I think, and this is me reading it a little bit, Denver scored 24 points in 3 minutes. They go to OT and they end up winning, but most of the country didn't watch it. It was the last game. I watched some of the Lakers and Houston, but even that game is like, man, I might not have put any toys together, but I've been up since like 6 a.m., talking about Christmas. There's no way that I'm going to stay up to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tip for that late of a game.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. I didn't, So Minnesota lost. Denver wins in overtime, 142-138. So there's a lot of crazy stats in this game. To me, just looking at the box, so in overtime, Denver scored 27 points and Minnesota scored 23. In overtime, Denver only scored 23 in the fourth quarter. And then he scored 27 in overtime. If they hadn't had 23 in the fourth quarter, he wouldn't have needed overtime. But that's,
you wouldn't have needed.
That's 50 points in overtime between the two teams. That's pretty crazy.
I mean, like I said, the Joker had a triple-double. He had a triple-double. He goes for 56. You know, he goes for 56, and you talk about, yes, it's an overtime game, but to have that many points is just it's unbelievable. It really is. But I mean,
he had 18 in OT. He broke Steph Curry's record with 18 points in OT alone.
Well, I mean, but the thing about it though, I don't know how many people actually got to watch it. If you're not on the West Coast or you're not right there in Denver, you mean to tell me the people over on the East Coast and they had to get up and do some stuff today? They didn't stay up to watch that game.
No.
They didn't stay up to watch that game. And so, you know, I think it was a good lineup. I know it was five games on basketball-wise, and then you got three games NFL-wise. I mean, but like we've talked about earlier, just some of the bowl games – even some of your bowl games, the playoff games, they get kind of lost in the mix. But some of the other bowl games, they're definitely getting lost in the mix. I saw Cam was talking about Cal and Hawaii, and I think Hawaii came back to beat them. I think Cal was up, and I didn't even get to see some of the game, and I think Hawaii ended up scoring like on the last play of that game. And I mean, but you start to in the other bowl game as well. I can see one of the coaches right now. I think there was a bowl game yesterday.
I'm sure there was.
Three, that's what I'm saying.
Three NFL games, and you know, the NBA used to kind of own Christmas Day, but the NFL, although the NFL games, I think we have three games. That's six. I think you weren't even the backup quarterbacks. You were with the backups.
No, you're in the backups. Backup. Yeah.
Right.
We were on the backup.
Right.
Yeah, and so that was at the beginning of the year when the schedule was released, you thought you would have, you know, the Mahomes. And
yeah.
You thought you would have, you know, some of the elite guys playing in those Christmas slots and, you know, Daniels over there. But the Cowboys, you know. Yeah. What was interesting, you know what's interesting, though? All of those games could have been moved. Right,
you can move out of a Thursday Christmas Day game.
I think you can flex out.
Whew.
I think those would have been flexed. I think they can flex out if I remember the rules. But you had to do it like
way in advance, right?
Way in advance.
Yeah.
But you know why one reason they're not going to flex Dallas out even though they're out of the playoffs.
No way. Right.
Why?
Just because it's Dallas, America's team.
Dallas and the views.
Yeah.
Dallas and the views.
Yep.
It's Dallas and the views.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess what? I apologize, Dallas. I didn't watch you. I didn't see a play. Not one.
And I'm
not sure. We hadn't had it on Netflix at the house that we were at that I would have watched much of Minnesota-Detroit. But Detroit, man, they just, good gosh, that was a mess.
I didn't watch any of it, so I couldn't even comment on it.
Six turnovers, something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, so I can't give you a lot on that one. So, like I said, that was not one that I flipped back and forth from log in to log out of.
Yeah. Well, we got a game on Sunday with two more to play, both on the road at Tennessee, then, of course, at Atlanta. And the NFC South still up for grabs. But we'll talk more about the Titans and the Saints noon on Sunday from Nashville when we come back here on Fans of the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister back after this, and we will talk with Mr. Nick Suss, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, at Nick Suss. That's next here on Fans of the Pro, back after this on WWL. Welcome back to Fans of the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, and we are happy to join in the conversation, Nick Suss, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, at Nick Suss. That's S-U-S-S. Nick, welcome to the show and happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Hoping we can get up to Nashville and get that game in before that front comes through, because that's going to be some drastic changes coming to the Nashville area, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it should. It's been kind of up and down these last couple of weeks. It was very, very cold last weekend, and then it got hot, and now we'll see what happens. It's going to be a shift change.
Yeah, and I guess just get your thoughts overall on how this team has been playing the last couple of weeks. And know, you know, been playing hard and playing well, you know, and just like kind of like the Saints, you hadn't had as many victories as you had liked, but, you know, did have some success against Kansas City. And just get your overall impression of this team over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a team that there's been such an emphasis, and I'm sure this is true in New Orleans as well, but such an emphasis on learning how to win on a very young team that there are a couple of veterans here, but there are really only two guys on the team who have ever tasted success in Nashville. And so now you're trying to teach these guys how to win at home for the first time, how to play with a lead for the first time, how to build these games. And you look at what's happening offensively, you look at the rhythm they're playing in, staying ahead of the sticks, committing fewer penalties, getting the ball across the 50, let alone into the red zone, and how to be efficient with the running game. We can look at these last 3 weeks. I think they're averaging 32 or 33 carries a game over the last 3 weeks, really trying to cultivate that identity and figure out how to be a downhill team instead of just a team that responds to what the other team's doing, throws the ball around the yard, actually have something they can count on and consistently go back to. And so they've, even in the loss to San Francisco, but especially in the wins over Cleveland and Kansas City, they have really stuck to an identity, which is something I can't say of the Titans since the Vrabel era ended. And that has kind of been the key to this recent success.
Yeah, as you just look at the last three games, I mean, it's just like a light switch came on, you know, for Cam Ward. He's got six touchdowns in his last three games, and that's two TD passes in each of those last three. He's only been sacked three times in his last three games. That's one per game. He was sacked 48 times in the first 12 games, four per game. He's had one pick in his last seven games. I mean, and you mentioned the running game. So you get Pollard's got three straight 100-yard games. It's not hard. It's not difficult to see why things have worked much better for this offense in these last three games, because they're just not beating themselves.
Yeah, and we can kind of get into the nittier, grittier things of what you were talking about. Of, look, Cam has three straight two-touchdown games. He didn't have a two-touchdown game at all before that. He had never done it before, and now he's done it in three straight games. You talk about the way that they've used the run game to kind of protect themselves from the pass rush. The first game that they did this was against Cleveland. Myles Garrett was coming off of six sack games, and they only gave up one to Myles Garrett, which I know that's still giving up one sack, but only giving up one to Myles Garrett this year is a huge win. And then they kept that game plan going against San Francisco and against Kansas City. You look at the things they've been able to do. I think Cam Ward only has two games with a passer rating north of 100 this year, and they are the last two games. The efficiency is improving. Now, the talent still is not overwhelming. So if you look at the loss in this bunch, the loss to San Francisco, they put up 24 points or 26 points or somewhere thereabouts. They still got beaten pretty handily because the other team had a lot more talent. Players just aren't there. The Titans wasted four or five drafts there before this last year. They don't have a lot of homegrown skill. They are really decimated by injuries, especially in the defensive secondary. But the players that they have are committed to playing as hard as they can, and that is not an easy thing to sell when you fired your coach in early October and it's December and these players are still playing hard. But you give them a lot of credit. You give the players a lot of credit for being able to take these opportunities in front of them, and you give the rookies like Cam Ward and three of his favorite pass catchers, all rookies, you give them credit for being able to figure things out on the fly and actually improve when it's time to improve.
Yeah, and I guess I just, you know, just giving your thoughts on, you know, where does this organization go going forward, you know, just because, like, the Saints have been in somewhat similar situations over the last year or so, and, you know, it looks like both organizations or franchises will be picking, you know, top five, top ten possibly going forward, and hoping both organizations have the quarterback piece in place. But, you know, for the Titans, not necessarily knowing what you're going to do with the head coach, how does that affect, you know, kind of what they do going into the offseason, and even from a need point standpoint, whether it's via the draft and or free agency?
Yeah, I think the main thing the Titans crave at this point is stability. Dating back to 2022, four straight years that you've either made a change at general manager or head coach. That is unsustainable in the NFL. You can't lose a chief executive every single year and expect to build a winning program. So they have to hit this higher, and they have to make sure that this head coach and this new general manager are in sync with each other and have a collaborative vision that they can execute on. from there, yeah, this team doesn't have any depth at cornerback, doesn't have any depth at wide receiver, and doesn't have any depth at pass rush. They need to address all three of those things. When it was looking like the Titans were going to have the number one pick, yeah, trade that pick, get three or four extra picks out of it, build that way. It's going to be a little tougher to do that if you're picking fourth or if you're picking seventh or wherever the Titans might end up. But you got to find a way to build internally. Early returns on last year's draft, they think they have their quarterback with Cam. Really like the third round pick, Kevin Winston, the safety, even though he's hurt right now. Fourth round picks, all three of them, Chimri, DK, and Alec Ioman are at receiver, Gunnar Helm at tight end, all look like they're going to be productive players. You got to keep stacking drafts like that because, look, the Titans have one player on roster that they drafted between 2020 and 2022. Those three classes have to be the core of your team. Those are the drafts 3, 4, and 5 years ago. And there's one guy left. That's totally unsustainable to miss that much internal development. So the start has to be Mike Borgonzi, the general manager, and his scouting staff and the rest of the front office have to bring players in that are going to hit, that your first-round picks are going to work out, and your mid-round picks are going to sustain and play well. And if they can do that, and if Cam's the guy, yeah, we can talk about this Titans team in a year or two as being competitive. But if they don't have any margin for error, because if they miss at one position, there's no depth there.
You talked about the three guys that I was going to talk about, you know, the like Ioman, the wide receiver, fourth round pick out of Stanford, Chimere DK, the other wide receiver, and Gunnar Helm, the tight end. But I want to go back to DK. So special teams wise, first off, he's had 60 kickoff returns. 60. That's, first off, a stunning number to me to begin with. He's had a 71-yarder. He's had two punt return touchdowns of late, one in week 9, one in week 12. And we just faced this last week with the Jets, like, and Isaiah Williams. Like, who's kicking to DK? I don't understand. Why are you kicking to that guy? Like, that to me, if you're going to get beat by Tennessee, do not get beat by their special teams. Because, I mean, you guys are tough.
There's also an undersell here. If he did have another punt return touchdown called back for a penalty. So it should be three. But look, the reason that DK has as many kick returns as he does is a pure volume proposition. The Titans defense has not been very good. Other teams are kicking off a lot. And if you look at the rate stats, Chim is a little bit below average among NFL kick returners in yards per return. So he's taking the ball out between the 32 and the 37 a lot of the time, and that's about where the touchback will be. And teams are making the trade-off of, okay, he's running. He's going to get it about where the kickoff touchback would be. Fine. Punt return, I don't know. There are a lot of teams that have started kicking away from him, and I think that is reasonable. He is a Pro Bowler as a rookie for a reason. He is incredibly successful. I will give a lot of the credit here to Bones Fossil, the special teams coordinator. Titans special teams had been the worst in the NFL the last 4 years. And he comes in this year and they put a rookie in the Pro Bowl as a return specialist. And Chim did not have a single touchdown as a return man in college. And he comes in and as a pro, he has two as a rookie. You give a lot of credit to the way the guys around him are blocking. You give a lot of credit to the schemes that are put in place to free him up. And you give a lot of credit to DK for the courage that you have to be able to run headlong and catch these punts and not be afraid of the guys trying to tackle you and trying to hit you full speed. But also, man, the way Fossil has encouraged these guys and the way he has rallied these young players and these rotating special teams units, and they're always playing hard, that has been the brightest spot of what's been a pretty desolate Titans season.
Yeah, I just want to get your opinion on, you know, what this Titan units has to do to be successful on Sunday, and, you know, just for them to say, hey, you know, even if we win or if we don't win, you know, just some things that you want to see that team be able to do.
Yeah, I think the interior pass rush is a huge thing for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons, who we haven't touched on, is not only the Titans' definite best player, but arguably the best defensive tackle in the NFL right now. And they've got Devondre Sweat, another really talented interior defensive lineman. We know the Saints at Garden Center this year have had some up and down performances. So if the Titans can get to Shuck and get to the run game from up the middle, that's going to be a huge boon for the Titans as they that's how the defense is built, is to get to you through the middle. And you got Cedric Gray, a second-year linebacker who's back out of the concussion protocol. He's up top five in the NFL in tackles this year. The way they use the middle of the defense, that's going to be really interesting against the Saints team that you guys know clearly having some injury issues in the run game and up the middle and all that stuff. So I think that's going to be a huge key. And then the other huge key, as I alluded to, is the way the Titans are committed to the run game. They are running the ball really effectively right now, but that is a product of a lot of 1 and 2 and 3 yard runs that they're not giving up on early in the game for the sake of maybe we'll break a 12 or a 15 or a 26 later in the game. So I give Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, a local kid down in New Orleans, a lot of credit for the way they've been able to kind of keep their heads down and find success. And I give credit to the offensive line for finally figuring something out after the Titans' O-line had been perhaps the worst in the NFL over the last 4 years. But yeah, I think that if the Titans can control the clock, I think it was 38 minutes of time of possession last week against Kansas City. So you control the clock with the run game and you kind of take the Saints offense apart from the interior with Jeffrey Simmons. That's what the Titans want to do. Now, for the Saints, Titans are, by my count, on cornerbacks 4, 6, and 7 and on safeties 1 and 5 right now. You'll be able to find some success passing. Go vertical. Pick on the fact that the Titans have 2 defensive backs on the entire roster who started the season in Nashville. Pick on that, and you'll be fine.
My last question, and you kind of touched on it, and we appreciate it. We're talking with Nick Suss, a Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, is about our local product. Tajay Spears, third-round pick back in 23 from Hammond, Ponchatoula High School. He's got a couple of rushing touchdowns, but what I'm looking at, you know, the previous games, he is so dangerous as a receiver. Had a 34-yard reception last week. I mean, I just wanted to get your thoughts on how he is doing as a receiver.
Yeah, I think one of the assistant coaches alluded this week to this might be the healthiest Tajay has been for a sustained period of time since getting into the pros. You look at the ACL injuries and all the stuff he had to deal with while he was in college, and then it's been concussion and foot and hamstring and all of this stuff back that'll continue nagging him through the start of his career. Since he got back from IR week 5 this year, he missed the first 4 games with an ankle. And since then, he has been on the team. He has been around. He has been productive. And now he is starting to really reap the benefits of the sustainable ability to stay on the field. So he's been really effective in the passing game. He is not super effective between the tackles, given his size and strength and speed profile. But if you get him off tackle, if you get him in space, he is the Titans' most dangerous weapon of making you miss and getting upfield. And he runs so hard. Like, you got to be proud of the guy for continuing to put his head down, continuing to run his shoulders, to put his body at risk with all the injuries that he has endured. And I am fascinated and happy to see how successful he's been these last 3 weeks, especially as the dual threat option, because yeah, he's getting close to 40, 50 yards a game all-purpose these last couple of weeks. And as a spellback, that's nothing to scoff at. And when he's able to break a 20-yard run or a 30-yard reception or something like that, impressive for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Totally. Last week, 13 rush, 52 yards and a touchdown. That was the most that he'd had really this year from, you know, a yardage standpoint, and then the 34-yarder. So, good kid, you know, Ponchatoula High School, Tulane, great Cotton Bowl. So, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game. And when the schedule came out in May, I talked to Taylor Zarzor, the play-by-play guy for the Titans. We're like, what is this game going to be, right? Like six right. months ago, you're going, what is this game going to be like? And so, I don't know that I would have said 5-10, 3-12, but I also don't know that I would have said the Saints have won 3 straight and you guys have won 2 of your last 3. So it's interesting times for both. But appreciate your taking some time out day after Christmas, and we will check and check with you when we see you on Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thanks.
That's Nick Suss, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. That's at Nick Suss, S-U-S-S. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans and Throw with you till 6 o'clock tonight. Back after this here on WWL. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. And we've talked a lot of kind of in the Saints and the Titans and some Pelicans and some college. And Deuce, I just kind of wanted to get some big overall, you know, 30,000-foot kind of look at the, like, big picture kind of things. NFC South, right? So, you know, everything's pretty much been decided from a playoff standpoint in the NFC, except the NFC South. Tampa's 7-8. They have just fallen apart. They're at Miami. Seattle, which is 12-3, they're at Carolina. Carolina leads the division right now at 8-7. And then next week, Carolina's at Tampa. And so just, you know, you look at that, this division, that Carolina could win the division and the Saints could have swept them. They could sweep the NFC South division winner. If you had to just say so right now, do you see Carolina winning the division?
Yes. I would think it would be Carolina is would it all come down if they lose to Seattle? Would it come down to a head to head, or they would have? I mean, obviously, I know they would have to beat Tampa at that point. Or
yeah, then it would come down to that final game. Let's say Tampa wins, they beat Miami because Miami's out of the picture. So Tampa would be 8-8. Carolina loses, they'd be 8-8, and you'd have Week 18, Carolina at Tampa. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just how those teams have played over the last couple of weeks. I mean, if you're, which this is so crazy to say, and you know, I don't know how hot the water is down in Tampa, but Coach Morris could be in the playoffs or fired.
Yeah,
Todd
Bowles.
I mean Todd Bowles. Yeah. Coach Morris could be Raheem could be the same way, but he's not going to be in the playoff. But he's in hot water. That's a different conversation. But Todd Bowles could be either in the playoffs or fired. That's literally probably what they're staring at if they don't beat Carolina and, you know, beat Miami. I think Miami, like you said, is basically out of it. They're playing Quinn Ewers as far as the backup quarterback. I think they've kind of moved on from Tua. But, man, it's just the way that they have finished games, or at least hadn't finished games the last couple of weeks, or even, you know, outside of our game, it's just been brutal. And so we know whoever wins the division, they will be the fourth seed, and they'll get a home game.
Yeah.
They're going to get a home game. Uh-huh. And so, you know, the other teams, you know, you talk about we talked about Detroit kind of earlier in the show. They're going to be out of it. So you've got Chicago battling. You've got the Packers battling. You know, Philly's in, and everything else is coming out of the AFC AFC West. I mean, the NFC West. And so you're talking Seattle and what they've been able to do, and the Rams. And it's just like, all right, NFC South, are you going to wrap this up so we can kind of, you know who you're playing? And so I think Carolina is in good position, but with the top not being determined as far as the top seed yet.
Seattle's got a lot to play for.
That part. Right. Seattle has a ton to play for. It would be a little bit different if they knew they had a game or two cushion, but they've got a ton to play for because only the first seed gets that bye now. It's not the top two seeds.
We'll take a break, get some final thoughts here on Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Final couple of minutes, and we'll finish as we started. The Pelicans tonight against Phoenix, the first of back-to-backs. And Deuce, we were talking as we started the show, what about Jordan Poole? Looks like he is going to be available for tonight's game with Phoenix. Phoenix will be without Grayson Allen and Jalen Green. So first of back-to-backs, but I know one of the things we were looking at was would Jordan Poole be available? Looks like he is.
Yeah, and then not having Grayson Allen, I mean, like I said, he was the one that lit up the Pelicans when they went out to Phoenix earlier this year. And so, you know, it starts really for me with him, with Devin Booker. Can you slow him down? You're not going to you know, he's going to get his, but can you slow him down to where he's not dominating that game? And then, you know, what do they finally do as far as with the starting lineup? And you may have that as well, Mike.
I'm trying to find it. I haven't found anything new other than Jordan's available.
Got it. And so, you know, from that aspect of it, it definitely helps to be able to have him available. And then, you know, it's just, you know, starting lineup wise, how do they handle it? How do they handle it? And, you know, can you get anything going again? Can you get anything going again as far as, hey, you know, we want to go on another 3-game, 4-game, 5-game winning streak. Can we go 5-1 over this next stretch? Can you sweep the next two, you know, because we've seen some of these home-and-home matchups where, you know, Phoenix or a team comes in. I think it was Portland once before. They come in and you play 2 games against them, and, you know, you're able to run off a couple games just because it's almost like a playoff feel of how you play them, and just because it's not a different opponent. And so, you know, it'll be huge for the Pelicans to win a couple more games. And, you know, you've had the last couple of days off. Hopefully you don't start flat. And, you know, let's see if this team can keep it rolling, just as the Saints have been able to win a couple games. And, you know, you want to go into these last 2 games and feeling really, really good about your situation is not only your organization, but a couple of key critical spots as well.
Yep, you are 100% correct. It's Phoenix, then New York for the Pelicans as they try to start a new winning streak. The Saints try to continue one at 3-4 games in Nashville. I will see you soon, my friend. Be safe with all your travels.
No problem. Thank you. I look forward to it.
You bet. Deuce McAllister, my thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. Thanks for listening to Fans and the Pro. Thanks for listening here on WWLAMFM.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.